It's supposed to be a Sabbath. I don't learn things on the Sabbath.
We're what, 14 episodes in, and Jeremy's still figuring out his mic stand?
The Lord's Day. Well,
we have got different mic stands. We're in a different arrangement.
They all function the exact same.
We used to, like, haven't even started the episode yet.
Why aren't you recording?
This is total chaos.
This is banter.
Anarchy. Okay.
This should all be in, though.
Okay, I'm going to take one small drink, and then we're just going to take a deep breath, and we're going to go.
I'm going to take one medium-sized
Everybody
drink.
Everybody focus in.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 14 of Three Brothers Talking.
We didn't know the number.
I did forget it for a second. I had to do some quick math. I had to remember that episode 13 was the Area 51 episode. We're here back in the basement,
which we're still in prep of.
We're still prepping. We got until September, so we're ready to go. We're recording here on a Sunday. It's been like, I think, 2 weeks.
The Lord's Day.
The Lord's Day on the Sabbath recording. It's been 2 weeks. Imagine that, because that's how often we release episodes. Mm-hmm. So what's funny is that, well, first, I'm David.
I'm
your host today.
Hi, David.
Oh, he is the host.
I'm the host.
Wow.
Hi, Andrew.
I guess I'm just a host.
Are you co-host too, and I'm just supporting
this
cast?
This is Andrew. Yes.
I'm Jeremy.
Okay. You guys can be host too. I just didn't
No. You're the only host.
I didn't have a creative way to say it, so I just said the host.
I am Jeremy, your third host.
There you go. Third host. First
what if
brother,
we had, like,
third
first
host.
Chair,
you're
second
super
chair, third chair.
Host.
That's a great idea.
And then whoever, like, is the lead of the episode.
Like an orchestra. Yeah.
Whoever prepares the most, it'll probably be one of you guys.
Yeah.
I remember a few weeks ago, Andrew said he was the traveling host or something. But then it was, you're the road rage host because you were traveling. But then you said you were done traveling.
But then I traveled.
Then you traveled more.
Yep. I'm back. And actually still and then
he's about to travel again.
While I'm on vacation, I got the notification from work that, like, hey, you're also gonna be traveling we went for a vacation that had been planned for a long time, for a week. Spent a good time with the sun on the beach.
The sun and the sun.
Yeah.
While celebrating the sun.
In the sun.
Yes, in the sun with the sun. It was
fun
a good
in the
time.
Sun with the sun.
It was a good time to pause, but then while
Christian
I'm like checking
album.
Up on email and they're sending me away for work for a conference. So literally I'm back like this whole week and then I travel again for the following week.
Good old international tax conference.
Andrew has a prize, a plenary session.
It's going to be a riveting session.
Is that like the Gospel Coalition? Is that basically what it is?
The pre-conference or the post-conference to the
TGC
normal
pastors? TGC tax. I'm sure that's going to be awesome.
TGC tax.
It'll probably be crazy.
You know, Three Brothers Talking might one day get like a live episode or something at, like, I don't know, maybe something cool like a conference, or team up with Doctrine of Devotion or like the normal pastors conference. But, you know, maybe we could also get a chair or something.
We could start our own conference. Three Brothers Conferencing.
I go to a couple.
Three Brothers Conferencing. TBC.
TBC.
I actually like
go.
That a lot. 3BC.
We need shirts.
Shoot, I'm in for that.
There you go. I came up with, I should be in marketing.
Yeah,
in engineering.
I have to go to, next week I'll be in Atlanta.
Hot Atlanta.
Yeah. Welcome to Atlanta.
That's right.
And we ride on.
We have to walk. Like,
got some TI
we have to walk a mile from our hotel to the conference. So hopefully it's not too hot. But
oh, it will be because it's Georgia.
Yeah, Atlanta airport too, man. You never know if you're getting out of there on time.
Well, yeah,
between
we'll
that
see.
And Chicago, you're basically
fortunately
like,
all direct flights. So
that's
just,
always nice.
Yeah, just have to worry about one, one travel option.
Well, we're here today. Andrew procured some Watershed Distillery bourbon for us.
Yeah,
which is good.
Are we out of Jared Blanton's yet?
No, we still
it's gone.
Oh, it's gone?
It's gone.
Jeremy finished it.
Last time
you guys finished it together.
Jameson last time.
Okay. He finished it together.
Yeah.
We did. I saved it.
I would
have
been kind of upset.
But you did have some in between episodes.
You know he did.
I had a little bit.
Yeah. It wasn't just us.
Well, it's sponsoring the pod.
That's fine. That's fine. This one's an interesting taste to me.
Yeah, this is a local.
It is local to Columbus, Ohio. Andrew loves their restaurant
They have some good food.
Yeah.
And it's like a real, like, I don't know, it's kind of an old soul environment.
Mm.
So it's like a throwback.
It's not with all those young kids.
Yeah, it's like a throwback, warehouse type thing. It's cool.
This has a distinctly, grassy, earthy taste to
it's
it.
It's slightly smokier
to me
than...
It doesn't taste smoky to me at all.
I didn't know we were reviewing bourbon. It's interesting.
Three Brothers conferencing and reviewing and it'll be
really
talking.
Quick because probably nobody cares, so it'll be really quick. It's just really interesting to me.
Hey, David might just edit it out.
Maybe I'm the only one tasting that, which, you know.
It's good. I'm enjoying it. I enjoy things.
Well, we are going to review something else, a bit of news, which dun, 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 dun. We don't do a lot of, thank you for the news music. We don't do a lot of, like, topic things in the realm of, like, news or, like, things that are happening. So far, we've only done just kind of, like, ideological topics and stuff like that. And I don't think that any of us are particularly the kind of people that would naturally talk about what we're going to talk about today. For reasons that Jeremy kind of alluded to before we recorded of, we don't have a general interest in talking about specific people.
Yeah.
On the podcast,
especially people who have impacted other people's lives.
Yeah. Or even
for the good in most cases.
The irony is we did do an episode about R.C. Sproul, but it's a little different. That was like a building up thankful. And he's trying to build
the fan base.
He's been in heaven and stuff. So it's a little different. Today we're going to talk about Josh Harris and kind of the whole thing surrounding him. And you've probably heard about this if you're kind of well-versed in the Christian sphere. Andrew's going to give us a bit of a recap. Andrew, tell people who Josh Harris is.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
Okay. So Andrew's kind of the least versed in Josh Harris.
I heard it in passing.
Andrew doesn't read all his books.
No, I didn't. I don't have a Josh Harris book, actually.
So, yeah. Jeremy, do you want to give a recap or you want me to give a recap?
Okay, so I can a little bit, and then you can kind of fill in the gaps. How about that?
Tag team it.
So Joshua Harris famously wrote when he was 20 years old, I Kissed Dating Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've read that book or did Kiss Dating Goodbye.
Or your parents probably read that book.
Yeah. It was really big in the homeschool community.
It was big everywhere. It was big everywhere in the Christian community.
So he was 20 when he wrote it. A few years later, he actually, I don't want to say recanted. Well, he did recant. He said,
no, not a few years later. Like a few years before today, he recanted it.
Okay. Yeah. I guess the time frame wise. He's probably like 40.
I think he's probably in his 40s.
So a week ago, he came out on Instagram saying with his wife that they are separating.
Mm-hmm.
After like about 20 years.
20 years
of
marriage. Yeah. He actually also was part of some of the stuff going on at Sovereign Grace and left Sovereign Grace's church.
Yep.
Which I'm not sure about that, so we aren't going to talk about that too much. And so Instagram came out, him and his wife were separating. And then a few days after that, he came out and said that he's basically leaving the faith.
Yeah, he posted, like, you just get a random post, like, hey, we're separating. It kind of made light of divorce and stuff, which was kind of... That's sad enough on its own.
Especially as a pastor at the time.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't a pastor. Another part of his story is that he was made pastor of a big church at the age of like 25, 26, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it was a mega church. It was a very big church that he was made pastor of. He's the son of a pastor. He was a famous author when he was 20.
Yeah.
And then... It was 2012. I remember this because I used to listen to his sermons fairly regularly. He announced that he was stepping down from being a pastor at Sovereign Grace Church. I forget which one he was at, but to go back to seminary because he never went to seminary. He just was like grandfathered into being the pastor of this church.
Yeah.
Which is what happens when you're a famous author.
Yeah.
When you're that young.
And your dad's
doors
a pastor.
Open for you.
Yeah.
And so he announced he was going to go to Regent Seminary, which is a little troubling at the time, because if you know Regent Seminary, it's up in Canada and it's not particularly a theologically conservative seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward a few years after he announced he was going to go back to seminary, he announced he and his wife are separating and then announces that he doesn't consider himself a Christian anymore. Called it a deconstruction.
All via Instagram, right?
Pretty much all via Instagram. Yeah. Very millennial.
Yeah.
Which I guess he's probably not a millennial, but he's probably just on the, just over that. But we're not really here to like talk about him in particular. What we wanted to dive into was the circumstances that went around his life and kind of how we as Christians deal with celebrity culture, celebrity pastors. Why is that healthy or unhealthy? How do we guard ourselves from the dangers there, as well as how do we guard ourselves from, you know, walking away from the faith ourselves? And like, what mm-hmm. do we see at play there? So that's kind of the ground that we're coming together on here to make this conversation happen. So basically the question that I want to start off with is, he was one, Josh was one of a few pastors that were very well known kind of at the start of this Young Restless Reformed movement. Him, Mark Driscoll, mm-hmm. James McDonald. I mean, those three guys were rock stars.
Yeah.
They were at the first Gospel Coalition conferences. They were mm-hmm. at those things. And all three of those guys, I mean, there's plenty of pastors that have survived that, so to speak, but those three in particular, to varying degrees, have gone way off the rails.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of them walking out of the way, walking away from the faith altogether. I mean, James McDonald, just some of the things that are coming out about the situation at Harvest Bible Chapel are just like nightmarish.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. And Mark Driscoll just, I mean, he didn't have any, like, from what I know, he didn't have any huge grievous sin, but just tons of unhealthiness and tons of hurt.
That keeps coming out.
Yeah, that kind of, and now he's kind of off doing a new church thing and whatever. So my question to you guys is, what do you, one of a few things. One is like, if you're, what do you see as like the problem? Like, why do you see like these pastors that are famous that are failing in one way or another? What do you see, like, particularly when we look kind of in our own camp, like these are pastors that at the very least are at some of the conferences we like to listen to or whatever.
Yeah.
What do you think is like at play that kind of, or what does this topic even just bring up into your mind?
You want to go first?
If you have something, go ahead. Yeah. Do a hot take or something.
No,
we're not doing hot takes.
No hot takes. Well, I think so often it goes to how much stock you're putting into other people and what they say versus what the word's actually saying. And also how much, I don't know, especially when you're in that kind of, so I can see myself in that kind of thing, big man. I could easily fall into those kinds of things, especially when you get pride. You have a bunch of people, especially mm-hmm. in mega churches.
Yeah.
Or Mark Driscoll started the Acts 29 with a few other guys.
I mean, he started Mars Hill, which was like a huge 10 churches. Network.
Yeah. And they grew rapidly.
Yeah.
You can sit there and say, man, I built this and I did this. Yeah. And then, because I can know as a task or a person or something like that, you can sit there and say, man, I can see that pride in me. And that's where my heart usually goes. I could easily fall myself to fall into those traps and then not be able to get back out.
Yeah. Like Mark Driscoll, I mean, think about how prominent these guys were. Mark Driscoll, at one point, Times Magazine wrote like an article about movements changing the century or something. And Mark Driscoll was in that as part of this new Calvinism movement.
Wasn't he on the cover?
I don't know if he's on the cover. He probably knows. But and like Josh Harris, like we wouldn't have normally talked about this, but his walking away from the faith actually garnered an article on New York Times.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a big deal.
It was covered all over the place.
Like it is there prominent. Was Newsweek, think about that. Think like, about the fact that apostatizing from the faith was a big enough deal for the New York Times to write about it. That doesn't
major
happen.
Major publications were covering it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think too, the other thing, as far as getting to your question, as far as a little bit about how I think that process, like obviously all these men had just exploded onto the scene with popularity and everything. And then I think with that, you get flooded with just so much, I guess, outside just sources and everything like that, where I think it truly gets to kind of what you were getting at, Jeremy, of like, so much information is coming in that is not like necessarily getting further and further from just the core scripture. Mm-hmm. And they're allowing so many sources and stuff to bleed in to their lives every day, just because they're getting inundated by all this following and stuff and everybody feeding them things, and like it can start out, it can be such a subtle, like kind of a subtle shift of like, yeah, okay, how rooted is this, what I'm reading, what I'm partaking in, what I, you know, all the people I'm surrounding myself with, how rooted is this back to the core source of scripture?
Yeah.
And then that subtle line gets shifted more and more of just straying, I think, day over day, where eventually you get to the point where like that information is just outright, like it can be like information that is subtly off, and then mm-hmm. it subtly strays away from yeah. there.
Well, and also we can take this even locally, as far as local church pastors
yeah.
leaving the faith, or yeah. Yeah. in general.
We all know, so this is not, we all know a few that have done that.
Yeah, we've known that. So then how do we sit there and we can see the traces of pride or sin, but sit there and say, okay, what do we do functionally when this happens? How yeah. do we, I don't want to say go on or move on. How do we take this and learn and grow and still also see the good in what was done? And that's something you still want to garner yeah. some good stuff. Like Mark Driscoll still did some great things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even some stuff from McDonald's. It's like, okay, these are still good things we can take from.
Oh yeah. McDonald preached plenty of good sermons. I mean, mm-hmm. two of the first books I read that were like theology or books, one of them was Vertical Church, and one of them was Dug Down Deep, mm-hmm. which was a Josh Harris book.
Yeah. I forgot that was him.
Yeah. I still have that one. I don't remember it being particularly brilliant or anything, but yeah. it was like a general theology book. But one thing I wanted to say, which is you just talked about, Jeremy, is that you can't presume that, like Andrew, you guys were both saying this, like the temptation is subtle. Like you don't yeah. like, you don't wake up one
it's
day.
It's an overnight thing.
Mark yeah. Driscoll didn't wake up and say, oh, I'm going to plagiarize part of my book, and then I'm going to kind of cheat on the sales numbers of my book, and I'm going to become really belligerent, and I'm going to not listen to anyone's correction in my church. He didn't just like wake up one Tuesday and say, yeah, I'm going to be that guy. Like those things just work their way into your life really slowly.
Yeah.
Every time you see a news article written about you, every time your podcast numbers go up a little bit more, you're just like, oh, I'm a pretty big deal, mm-hmm. or I'm an even bigger deal. And then you just fall into that. I mean, even and to touch on what you just said, Jeremy, in the local church, you can't assume that just because you're not like a mega church pastor, you don't have those avenues of pride in your life. I mean, if you're a pastor listening to this, then even if your church is 50 people, you still have a heart that's open to pride.
We still have 50 people looking up to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you can't presume, oh, my church only has one service, so I don't need to worry about pride.
Yeah.
Like you can't think like that. And if you're not a pastor, you're not an author, whatever, you also can't think that you don't have little avenues of pride that can work their way into your yeah. life and turn you into a really self-centered person in your family and in your marriage. Like,
well, even
you have to watch
even the
that.
Aspect of like looking at your own walk yep. in that aspect of like having pride in your own walk of like, hey, I'm reading all these great, you know, authors. I'm in the word, all that. And then
look at how good of yeah. a spouse I am. Look at how yeah. brilliant
everyone's
I am.
Coming to yeah. me for questions and answers. Yep.
So it all happens in your circle. Yeah.
It's just so easy. It's so easy. I mean, to think about in marriage, it's so easy to just start thinking like, look at how much I do for this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Like you almost start thinking, I don't want to say this out loud, but I think I do more than my spouse.
Like you keep score a little
you
bit.
You just keep score yeah. and you never vocalize it mm-hmm. because you know, if you vocalize it, that would be stupid.
Because you know, that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you vocalize it, you lose. So. You,
yeah. Like yeah. that one, it's stupid. It wouldn't, yeah. it would be practically a bad idea, but also, you know, to vocalize it
very well.
Yeah. Like try saying that to your spouse. Hey, I think I do more. Like, yeah, that's not a winning attitude or winning a strategy, but also even keeping it in your head, like, you know, like it's easy to do that, to keep scoring and to think of yourself as like, I've got it mm-hmm. together. I'm in my church. I'm pretty well put together. I'm pretty this or that. And we just believe our own press clippings a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if we don't have the New York Times writing about us, we just find ways to think of ourselves highly.
Yeah.
And
even that of like yeah. thinking ourselves highly just because maybe you have it put together for those you're surrounded with, like mm-hmm. your friends and stuff like that, whoever he has, because like even at that, we can put up a great facade
yeah.
of those around us. And then that perspective can then bleed into how we think of ourselves. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that's interesting about, Josh Harris, and I would say that I heard like Carl Truman wrote an article about this whole thing that's interesting. He was talking about the whole celebrity culture of like new Calvinism and these prominent pastors. And he was basically saying that, yes, it's a great thing that like these big gospel coalition together for the gospel conferences started, but some of the fruit that they've borne out has not been great. I'm somebody that listens to all those conferences, but I would totally agree because a lot of these guys that were propped up, they were pretty theologically knowledgeable and they were great speakers, but they weren't settled. And I think one of the important things for a pastor and one of the important things, if you want to be mature in life, is to be settled. And what I mean by that is like, they were kind of new to the theology game. They were kind of new to these things and they weren't like, I don't know. I think that there's something in particular that's powerful and mature about not being shifted so easily in your doctrine, not being like over the top all the time, but being settled so that your ministry stands the test of time and your life stands the test of time because you're just not, you know, James talks about being shifted by every wind of doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these guys that were prominent and they were getting a bunch of hype in the Reformed community in particular, but none of them were even particularly Reformed.
No, I don't think any of them really spoke a lot about being held to confessionalism.
Exactly.
Or and even part historical.
Part of being Reformed is ascribing, at least in very large part, to one of the historical Reformed confessions of the faith, which outline your theology in a number of realms in a little bit more detail. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gives you a foundation. It's not that like, oh, you can't be a faithful Christian without a confession. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
But it does kind of specify,
as a
here's
framework.
What I think on all of these topics. Here's what I think the Bible says. And a lot of the new Calvinism movement that these guys were a part of was kind of built on like passion and freewheeling and like, you know what I'm saying?
It's not that much different than the charismatic movements that we
see. It's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And that's the danger with some of the charismatic movements is that they sometimes don't have a confessional unity that grounds them. Like if you're charismatic listening to this, that's fine. But have a doctrine of the Bible and have doctrine that is grounding you in many areas of life so that you're not, but I mean, that's not just a danger. Like I'm saying, most of these guys aren't charismatic either. It's not a danger just for charismatic believers. It's a danger for people that don't have, like, they haven't done the work to study theology in a broad sense. So that way you just kind of have holes that can pop up and lead you astray.
Yes.
Well, and also you get back to...
That took me a long time to explain one idea, and I explained it very poorly. So I apologize for that.
We're just going to move on. Don't
basically, worry. What I'm saying is you want to dig down deep and broadly in your theology so that you know the word from many angles so that you are stable and you're not led astray.
Well, that's also, all I wanted to say. I think going back to the fact of, there's a Driscoll comment going back to a few years back. If the follow your elders, not me.
Mm.
And then the elders came, that was actually something like before this whole thing happened. And then the elders said, hey, you need to go under discipline. He said no and left. So irony.
Ironic.
Yeah. But going there and saying, and letting people actually speak into your lives, like competency is great.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't dig into your heart and the word, let the word actually saturate, you're like the weeds and the thorns and the rocks. It doesn't go anywhere. So that's where pride really comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, if nobody can correct you, you're in a dangerous place.
Right. And if you're the one voice everyone hears, like even if you have a board of elders or even if you're a husband and you're not loving your wife well, and you're like, oh, you're not taking any input from everyone, that is showing your pride and showing that I think I have this. And that's a talk. Listen to our pastor to actually talk about how the word talks about God destroying the proud and haughty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay. And most of the time when you see these people, the proud and haughty, they aren't destroying, like, yes, they are sometimes destroying, but it's more just like their fruits of their labor are seen.
Yeah.
You see it on full display. And it's just showing like, no, this is really me. And that's going back to a course I took on biblical counseling last summer. We're all like empty glasses or a water bottle. And then when something hits the bottle without a cap and spills out, that's
what's defined really in you. There.
Like out of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. That's going back to, okay, how do we guard against pride? And then what do we do?
And these guys in particular, they looked great from the outside.
Yeah.
And you can look great in a million ways. You can look really spiritual in a million ways. Whether you're a pastor or whatever, you can look really spiritual and really great. But if you're not actually dug down deep on, to use Josh Harris's book title, if you're not really dug down deep in intimacy with Christ, in obedience and faithfulness to scripture and stuff,
yeah,
then you will start to go astray. When people correct you, you'll say, nah, I don't need to listen to that. When the word corrects you, you will say, I don't really need to listen to that.
And when new things in the world are thrown at you as well, like that's what comes with these massive followings that these people have, is that they were inundated with just the new and latest and greatest and everything from, you know, each day. And that came on so quickly that I think it really did come down to the fact that they had all the head knowledge.
Yep.
That they could have ever really needed, I guess.
Yeah.
But if they weren't, like, I mean, clearly the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Yeah. And so if that really isn't dug down deep and fleshed out from a broad perspective of theology, just
you're gonna have to drink every time we say dug down deep.
That's
something.
At least like the third or fourth time we've been
like truly like you see that they were then pulled away from various other theological standpoints that the world had to offer.
That is a big difference. Yeah. You can have, like Andrew said, all the knowledge, but if your knowledge does not, I'm reading a book right now by Al Mohler called Conviction to Lead. And one of the chapters in there is that leaders operate on the level of conviction, not like knowledge. And like, he's drawing this distinction between what you know and what you are convicted of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of these guys knew a lot of great theology and they knew how to preach well, but I wouldn't say that the doctrine was at the conviction level. Like this is a conviction in my heart. I'm sure of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that it, and I think that's borne out by the fact that almost all of them have walked away from all of that stuff. So obviously it wasn't convicted. I mean, even Josh Harris announced like he's walking away from the faith. And he says like he repents in a way about what he used to believe about
it was
the lesbian, gay and bisexual, transgender, the LGBT community and all this. And he apologized for ever thinking like that it was illegitimate or sinful. And what that made me think is you have to, one, be careful about what is influencing your worldview.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, he probably didn't wake up one day and just say, I'm going to reverse my standpoint on this very important biblical issue.
Guess one person was nice to me one time.
It was subtle, day by day. Was allowing,
And this is where I would encourage people, particularly with the language that he evoked when he talked about a deconstruction. That is a critical theory, intersectional language. If you don't know a lot about intersectionality or critical theory or critical race theory, I can link to some stuff in the show notes, an author named Neil Shenvey that's just writing a lot about that right now and is really knowledgeable. But that in other worldly kind of ideologies, they will not remain the level of innocent for long. Like you can only incorporate so much of them into your life before it becomes your worldview.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can take a piece and a brick here and a brick there from these different ideologies, but eventually your house that you're living in is a different house. Like that illustration with the ship, right? Where you take you replace a piece of wood on the ship every day. At what point does it become a brand new ship? Well, it doesn't matter because at some point you're on a ship that's sailing in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to guard not only your worldview, but you just have to guard yourself from sin. Like I think it was Al Mohler talking about this whole topic and he said, we have to recognize that most of these decisions about walking away from the faith, they are often people cite like ideological things like homosexuality or theology topics they say they can't reconcile. But he said most often the real answer is a sin issue that is at work in their lives.
Mm.
And we want to be clear, like, we're not presuming that about Josh in particular. We don't know that. We're not presuming that about Mark Driscoll because that's readily apparent. We're not assuming that about James McDonald. That's also readily apparent. But often what's at play here, people will talk on the level of, oh, I just couldn't believe this part anymore. But often there is an element of not wanting to be accountable for certain things.
To a particular sin.
And that, I mean, scripture tells us, Hebrews 13, right? That sin hardens your heart.
Yep.
It says we need to exhort each other daily, as long as it's called the day, so that we're not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a tough warning for us, because like, I know that I'm not vigilant about sin every day of my life, like mm-hmm. being wary of it, being wary of where it could lead me. Even the, you know, the tiniest, littlest thoughts about where they could lead me.
Yeah.
And that's just something we need to, I don't know. Do you guys feel like that burden is there in your lives enough? Or
I think it's a growing burden. I think I see more and more, especially when things that's like this good. Come out of here about other things. Yeah. It's like, man, I could, like I said, easily fall into these things just as much. I mean, I've obviously none of us are celebrity pastors or have anyone really following us, but even my own family or friends, my own circle, sitting there saying, man, first off, and also allowing, saying, I'm not gonna do things perfectly, and there's grace for that.
Yeah.
Letting yourself off the hook a little bit to actually be able to operate. Cause at some point you can get so bogged down to not operate at all.
Yeah.
And allowing grace to creep in, but also sitting there saying, actually evaluating, man, if I'm doing something, am I doing it for the right motives or the right reasons? Am I keeping score on certain things, or trying to just do things out of selfish ambition or vain conceit? I'm actually thinking about those things.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, too, the two thoughts is literally just like reconciling with my own life of, am I accountable to a local community of believers? Am I accountable to friends? Am I accountable to a local church that can speak into my lives or into my life for, you know, these areas? And can we extort each other when we call, you know,
exhort? You don't want to extort each other.
Yeah.
No extortion on this podcast. Yeah. Andrew does owe me.
I was thinking ahead of my speaking. So
there you go.
But yeah, can we exhort each other in that way?
Yeah.
And then like, two, am I like, even in my local church, am I always garnering the supremacy of scripture above all else?
Yeah.
Above all other sources that might be out there, above all other good things that I might take in. And read about theology and all that, even above the words of my local pastor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like week to week, you know, you can go in and just blindly follow the words of your pastor.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that speak out. It's just like, are you truly just holding scripture above all?
That was kind of what our pastor ironically said today. A little bit of the sermon was like the verse in James about there's only one lawgiver.
Yep.
And so even our churches, one, we need to invest in them, because that is a establishment. Like if you're not in a church, go to a church that is faithful and believes the gospel and preaches it. And don't just go to it, but develop friendships where people can be accountable and encourage each other. But our pastor was talking about today, like there's only one lawgiver. Like James 4 talks about that. And even like, all of our local churches, even if they're a great local church, even if they're huge or if they're tiny, if you've got a multi-campus church that's growing every week, or if you've got some tiny church that you go to, no matter what it is, they all should be under the authority of scripture.
Yep.
And every pastor, no matter how great of a preacher your pastor is under the authority of scripture.
And you should be investing and checking that regularly.
And you should know the word well enough to be able to keep him accountable.
Yeah.
Because say he messes up, it might not have been on purpose.
Yeah.
You as a church member have a job
to
do.
He's a sinner just like you.
Yeah. Like you should know the word well enough that you can respectfully go to your pastor and be like, hey, I was kind of concerned about this.
Or I have a question about
it. Yeah, I have a question about this. And if we're anchored to we're either going to be anchored to the word or like any number of things. You have to be anchored to something.
Or something that's generated by the world.
Something or someone.
Yeah.
You're going to be anchored to something, and we have to tie ourselves to scripture and allow that to tie us to Christ. So that we're not troubled, you know, when we see even a famous pastor or whatever fail. Yeah. It's kind of like, all right, like my faith is still in Christ.
Because only then can you truly take and value, like we said, like the good things that they did produce.
Yeah.
prior to, you know, falling away in certain contexts. Like, you can still appreciate their teachings from a certain aspect at that time. Like we said, like,
yeah,
Mark Driscoll had really great sermons, and he was a really talented speaker. And that only then, if you're truly always referring to those through the lens of scripture first and foremost, can you truly, like, at that point, you can still appreciate the teaching that was there. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can discern what's right and what's wrong.
I agree.
Any closing thoughts?
I have none.
I think we did good.
I think that was pretty good. I think we did our best.
Here's the thing. We record these podcasts to varying degrees of improvisation. So today I would say it was pretty improvised. So if we said something that was either insensitive or inaccurate or whatever, or if you're confused by it, or, you know, whatever, offended by one part or another, give us a little bit of grace and let us know what it is. If you have questions about any of this stuff, I would recommend,
because we can definitely talk about it more too.
This is a topic that's really interesting,
but I doubt this will be the last time this kind of thing happens.
And this is a topic that's interesting to me because I think it's a topic that we will face more in the age of, we're kind of in the age of mega churches because of technology and how it makes it easier to do that now. We're kind of in the age of celebrity pastors and speakers. So, dealing with that in a healthy way.
I think everyone's a celebrity now with Instagram.
Like, I think that's really important. So let us know your thoughts. We're not above retracting or correcting anything. If we said something confused, sometimes we listen back to these episodes and we're like, oh, I said that.
Or our wives tell us we did something wrong.
Like, I said it that way.
I didn't really mean that.
Yeah. I didn't really mean
sound
that.
Like that. Yeah.
But we really appreciate everybody listening. And if you had fun listening, review the podcast. We have some more reviews. We need to actually read through them at some point.
Do an episode where we read all our reviews.
Yeah.
It's a short episode, but
or at least rate it. If you're not going to review us, just go on iTunes real fast. You literally press like two buttons. You just tap the five stars and move on. It's a big deal. It helps us out. And we got likes on Facebook now. Facebook's lagging behind our subscribers a little bit because I think we just crossed 100 likes on Facebook, which is cool.
We're gonna have cake.
And thanks to everybody that subscribed. I'm glad that we have more subscribers and likes on Facebook, partially because I care very little about Facebook, but
also use any of that as a means to, like, if you have topics that you want us to talk about, send us your thoughts on what we've said.
And our inbox is open. Our inbox is open for suggestions and everything. You guys got any recos?
I would just say, meet your neighbors.
Meet your neighbors.
Yeah, I met one the other day, and I'm going to meet him again. So
there you go.
I would say be sure. I mean, I just came off of my vacation that we discussed at the beginning, that I would just be sure at some point through your year, yes, you might not take an actual trip away, but just make sure you're pausing with your family. Because it was definitely nice to just hit the pause button from work and like my extracurricular commitments and everything like that. And just get back to basically, you know, like it was great when like Lincoln's down for a nap to just have time to just sit with Kaylee. It was definitely, I would recommend that big time, that even if it's just a staycation, that you're carving that out in your year.
Cool. Yeah. So meet your neighbors, witness to them, and then take some time off. With that, we'll take some time off for like 2 weeks. And then we'll be back at you.
We'll see you on the other side of Hotlanta.
Yeah, like, share, subscribe.
Tell your grandparents about us.
Tell somebody that might like the podcast
We're big with the retired community.
Tell your grandparents. We're really trying to corner the 60-plus market.
That's where we're going.
So until next time, we'll see you next time.